Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, you are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I am the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care, a platform for Black women who are looking to get to where the healing resides. So glad that you are here. Happy Monday. What's good? What's good? And I really do mean that. I'm kind of saying it in the thought, in the theme of Nicki Minaj when she was talking to Miley Cyrus. But I do honestly mean that. Like, what's good? I want to check in with you. That's going to be the point of today's episode because we are rounding the corner on the end of January, which is insane to me. And, you know, sometimes time just passes by so quickly. You look up and you're like, how did we get to December 2023, right? You blink your eyes, your child aged from a baby to 15, you blink your eyes and you end up in Target in a daze where you thought you were going to spend $22, but the lie detector determined that that was a lie and you spent $175.22. That happened to me today. But time goes by so fast, real talk, all kidding aside. And so I just want to make this episode about checking in with ourselves, checking in as a community, collectively, me, you, us. Okay. But before I do that, first of all, I would like to ask your permission to just flow. Okay. I don't have any notes. Usually I love a good note because it keeps me in line with the overall, you know, tone or mood of the conversation. I know kind of what's next, but today I don't have any notes. I just said a quick prayer like, okay, God, let's just see what happens here. Because, you know, God will work through you when you let go of control. And I am moving forward in faith that whatever I say in this episode, it's going to touch somebody. It's going to touch somebody. It's going to give somebody an aha moment as they continue to navigate their path. It's going to be a balm for somebody's spirit. Okay, maybe it's you, maybe it's not you, but I'm just going to flow on this episode. So I don't think I've asked you to do this in a while, but I want you to slow down if you can. I want you to use this time intentionally as an opportunity for you to just be. We can quote unquote do all the things. We can always do all the things, right? But when it comes to tending to ourselves, nurturing our gardens, connecting with ourselves, our real selves, not the self that we show to the world. That's not necessarily our real self. I'm not saying that you're the side that you don't show is bad or anything. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, we usually present a certain representative of us that is different than who we are. Typically, not drastically so, but just different from when we're at home, when we're relaxed, when we're in our space, right? So I just want to allow you, or not allow you, I can't make you do anything, but I would like to invite you, if you're able, to use this time to just be. If something comes up in your spirit, hopefully you have your journal handy or the notes app on your phone, make a note, come back to it. Ponder it a little bit more. You know, when I spend my time in the mornings, I really try to spend time every single morning in silence, in solitude, because that is when I have, I just get little moments and pockets of clarity that are relevant to me, that are important to me. And so I would love for you to use this time on the podcast as a pause button, okay? We are humans that are human beings, okay? I know you know that saying, we're human beings, we're not human doings. And I think that was intentional, you know what I'm saying? We're human beings. It's okay to be, okay? So that's what I would love for you to do. Grab some coffee, grab your tea, your journal, if that's what you want to do. And let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So again, I want to check in with us. That's the point. But before I do that, I usually like to, in case you're new here, I like to share something that I've done for self-care. And honestly, I have two things, okay? I have two things. So the first thing that I want to share is that, oh, what was I going to share, y'all? Listen, I'm getting older, so maybe I should have written this down. Maybe I should have written this down. Sometimes I'll be, you know, my brain be on to the next thing. Okay. I remember what it was. So the first thing that I did for self-care, and it felt good, and I was guilty for just a brief moment at the same time. And if you are a mother, a caretaker, you have littles that you tend to in any capacity, okay? Because you know littles, they be begging. I don't have a little. I have a grown-ass adult daughter now, and or almost grown. And usually, you know, she is living the high life. And by that, I mean, she's just, you know, going to bed at random times. She works a few hours a week. She does her schoolwork. And then other than that, she's on her video game. And then she goes to sleep at like 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, or just at random times. So I, you know, tend to get up, do my thing, and then I usually eat. I'm not a breakfast eater, y'all. Are y'all a breakfast eater? I am definitely not. I can be sometimes, and I used to be, but something about eating before a certain time, usually, it just makes the thought of it makes me feel sick to my stomach. I can't even explain it to you. But there are some days that I do eat breakfast sometimes, but usually I don't eat until between maybe 12 and 3 p.m., I would say. Anyway, my point is, when I get up and get into my groove, I'll end up making something to eat. Okay, we're talking about food. You know, food is very important to a Black person. We like food. We like to eat. Okay, we enjoy food. Food means it represents a whole lot for us. Okay, and I remember when my daughter was little, there were times, and I know if you are a mom, you already know what I'm about. You know where this is going. Or if you are an auntie or what have you, you already know where this is going. Because like I said, kids be begging, they greedy. And I would have to sneak. I would either have to save something to eat for later at night when I had put her to bed, okay, when she was little. Or I had to make that choice. If I really wanted now, I knew I had to share. And sometimes, I mean, it's great to share, okay? It's great to share. It is, right? And you love your kids, and it's like always, they're always top of mind, right? So I knew that if I had something special, like a little treat to myself, which didn't happen very often, I knew that I would have to wait until she went to bed if I wanted to enjoy it. Because if not, it was just an automatic, like, what is it from Eddie Murphy Raw? I don't know how old you are, but if you know, there's that skit he does where he's like, Eddie, I want half. And that's how I feel. Like, Eddie, I want half. Always with this kid. Always. Every time. And so I would usually share with her. But my point of all this in saying is, I promise I'm getting to the point. Last week, I got up and I was hooking up some, I don't want to call it, well, it was breakfast foods. It wasn't morning necessarily, but it was maybe around 11, 12, 1, somewhere in there.
And I got up, I was making some breakfast food. So I'm hooking up the eggs, I'm cracking the shells, got my whisk out, I'm whisking the eggs. Like, I just want you to get into this breakfast, okay? I'm whisking the eggs, I got the bacon sizzling, I done cut up bell peppers, tomatoes, I got my salt out, my garlic, the pepper, the cheese. I had a block of sharp cheddar cheese. I'm grating the cheese. I threw some, what are those things called? Are they called baguettes? I think they're called baguettes. You know, those long breads that you can cut up and use however you want to do whatever you want to do. Y'all, fun fact here. I did not know that you could put that in the oven. Well, I knew you could put it in the oven, but I didn't know that it was good to put in the oven, then put butter with jelly on it for breakfast. Like, I made this crusty toast with this. Oh, my God. Just thinking about this meal that your girl made, I'm drooling. I'm just thinking about it. But like I said, so you feel me, right? You feel me. So she's asleep, or so I thought. Okay? But you know, kids love to wait until you got your mouth all set and here they come. Okay, here they come. So I promise you, as soon as I was ready to eat this bacon, like getting this party started, this party for my mouth started, here she come. Here she come. Talking about, can I have some? Can I have some of that? I'm thinking to myself, I know you lying. I know you lying. I'm thinking, are your hands broke? Like, you can't go downstairs and make something for yourself. But she knows that every time that I cook, I usually end up making enough for both of us. Because obviously, I'm the parent. Yeah, she can get in there, but she doesn't. And I know she's not going to starve, but it's just like, that's what we do. Okay? As women, as mothers, as providers, as caregivers, that's just what we do. It's just an automatic, we're going to make something for the kids because Martin loves the kids, right? But not on this day. Not on this day, friend. Not on this day. So I had to bust her little bubble and I told her, I'm going to whisper what I told her. I told her, no. I told her, no, y'all. I said, no. And I think I was more shook than she was. You know, kids, like, especially her, my daughter doesn't. She was just like, whatever, you know what I mean? But inside, I was shook to my core because I told the girl, no, N-O. Like, I had, this was for me. Was there enough to share? Probably. I'm sure I could have gave her a piece of bacon, but I was like, no. And for a second, I did feel that guilt. I really did. But I promise you, that was quickly replaced by feelings of yummy in my tummy and giddiness because I actually had a breakfast that I made and it was all for me and all to myself. And the point of me telling you this is that even though it doesn't feel like it all the time, it is okay to say no. Even to the people that you support, even to the people that you love, even to the people that you care for, the people that you know, you always got their back. Like, it's okay to save some of that for yourself. And I know I'm talking about right now bacon and eggs, and you're probably in your kitchen right now making some breakfast for yourself because of this podcast. But I'm talking also about the bigger picture. And this is something that I still struggle with, setting that boundary. But it was so rewarding. And this is one of the reasons why I say to start small. Okay? Start small. Because even though no is a complete sentence, and it's not a quote-unquote good sentence or a bad sentence, right? It's just a word. We make it mean something. And the irony of it is sometimes we build it up in our head so much, we think that other person is going to hate us, they are going to be mad at us, they are going to shun us, they are going to get pissy, they're going to talk about you behind your back, or they're going to, you know, do something. I don't really know. But just like my daughter, who really didn't care, honestly, she didn't care. We can't, like, forecast into the future. Like, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. When we try to future forecast and we think we know how someone's going to react. And honestly, so we tell ourselves that story, right? But honestly, even if my daughter would have been mad, right? Or had a little tantrum or something, I don't know. That's her choice and that's okay. That does not give her the right to have access to me all the time. That does not give her the right to have everything that I have. Does that make sense? We give and we give and we give so much of ourselves. It is okay to reserve some of that for you. And as you start to do this, yeah, you're going to feel guilty. I ain't going to lie. You're going to feel guilty, girl. It's just, we're humans. We have feelings, right? We want everyone to like us. We want everyone to know how amazing we are. We want everyone to know how supportive we are. We want everyone to be on our team, like Team Bree. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want everybody to be Team Bree. Baby girl, that's just not possible. It's just not possible. Okay. And the more we set these little boundaries, and I'm not telling you to go off and tell just like everything's a no. I'm not even saying that, obviously. But the more that we do this, like, it gives us room to appreciate ourselves, appreciate who we are, appreciate our needs and support our needs, our desires, our wants. You know what I'm saying? And make room for more of that. You start to learn what you really prioritize and things that make you who you are when you start to really get intentional with those yeses and those no's. Okay. So again, I know it can be hard. I'm not going to sit up here in front and tell you I do it perfectly all the time because I don't. I keep kind of tiptoeing around this, but there's a current issue that I'm dealing with that I just do not have it in me right now to set a specific boundary with a specific person. I'm just not there yet. I'm not ready. I have been tiptoeing around it and making smaller little boundaries, if that makes sense. But you know, we just have to keep activating that muscle. The more we do that, the more we say no. It's like, I feel like me telling my daughter no, you know, first of all, it's like she can go and figure it out for herself. So it's like I'm not taking something away from her because maybe that no is giving her the push to learn a skill. It's not just me that can go in there and cook. That's number one. But number two is just like the next time that I say yes to her, let's say the very next day, you know, I'm still on that high of I didn't have this bomb breakfast. I told her no, I was good. You know what I mean? I enjoyed the meal. I'm happy. Or let's say it's dinner time, right? And she's like, can I have some? When I say yes, it just feels that much more special because I'm not saying it from a place of like, I really don't want to do this, but I got to say yes. Like that grudging, just that begrudgingly saying yes to something that you really in your heart know is a no. No is a no. K-N-O-W. You know it's a no, right? There's a lot of times I would operate from a place of saying yes to things. And I'm just like, I would be so angry, okay? And this recently happened. I would be so angry because of this yes that I felt like I was forced into, but really wasn't that I was forced into it. I had to think about that. I wasn't forced into it. I could have said no to this other situation. But because I allowed my people pleasing to kick in and my fear of what is this person going to think? What is this person going to say? I said yes. And then I hated that decision. I hated that decision. And I was miserable. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I want my no's, like my internal no's. And this is where you really need to let your intuition kick in. Use that inner wisdom that God planted in you, okay? Allow yourself to develop a spirit of discernment. But letting your no's really be no no matter what, and letting your yeses really mean yes. Like those no's, when you say no, when you say yes to something, it's because you know that for whatever reason, this is the direction you want to move forward in. Okay? So that's the first thing that I did for self-care. I said no. The second thing that I did for self-care is I purchased a book, and it's not in front of me. I have no idea where it is, but I'm going to mention it anyway, and I'll put a link in the show notes in case you want to check it out. It's called, man, I wish I had it. It's called Jesus Calling. It's either called Jesus Is Calling or Jesus Calling. You know what? Let me go grab this book. I'm going to take a quick break right here. Who showed you that it was okay to aim high and go for your dreams while also just being yourself? For me, it was radio host Big Boy, Oprah, and KTLA news reporter Gail Anderson. In part, these people are the reason why this podcast specifically exists. This is the power of Black representation in media. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is more than a podcast. It's a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where every voice is as distinct and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In this collection, you'll find stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. Each episode, a living account of what it means to be Black today. From the intricate narratives of The Wire to the wisdom of Michelle Obama and the urgent call for reparations, Black Stories, Black Truths really is the truth. Space wasn't always made for our perspective, so NPR's new collection is necessary as it celebrates the richness of the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Way's Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Way's Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Way Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Way's Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE. All right, y'all, I'm back. I promise I had to go and find this book. So I want to share this with you. The name of the book is Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. Again, I'll say that again. Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. The author's name is Sarah Young. I am going to be 100 with you. I really do try to promote Black creatives, Black and Brown creatives, but specifically Black women, Black men. I don't know if Sarah is Black, white, or anything in between. I really have no idea because I didn't look. I was just led to buy this book, and so I did. And what it is basically is 365 days of a message. Look, I guess it's kind of like a devotional. Most likely it is a devotional, and I just didn't say that initially. But it's a devotional, and every single day there's like some Bible verses, and then there is a there's a message. The main thing is a message, and it's all about just being immersed, allowing yourself to be immersed in God's peace, allowing yourself to, for me, it's all about allowing myself to trust and surrender as I lean into His presence and into His peace. And I got it from Amazon. So again, I will link it. And every single day, like I said, there's a date at the top. So you can just go to whatever date it is. Like, for example, if it's March 17th, you open the book, you find March 17th, and then you just read whatever that devotional is for the day. And I like that. I really do like that because it helps me just to kind of stay focused. Honestly, my mind sometimes be all over the place. So when I have things like this, it helps me to stay focused. I don't read it every single day. I do try to, but some days I do miss. And you know what? That's okay. That is definitely okay. And speaking of just like trust and surrender and enjoying God's peace and allowing myself to be in his presence, right? I had an interesting thought and I'm going to share that with you. Okay. This is all related. So in my journal, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, well, before I journaled, let me set the stage. So that specific morning that I'm about to share with you, this journal entry, that specific morning, I think I had woken up maybe 5:15, I'm guessing. And I think the sunrise was probably like, let's just say 6 a.m. I don't really know exactly what time it was, to be quite honest with you, but I got up before the sunrise, okay? And I like to do that as much as possible because, first of all, it makes me feel like my day is longer, number one. Number two, that's the time where I really am able to find those pockets of peace. Those are the times where I really am able to tune in as best as my brain will allow. Because again, sometimes it's just all over the place. But if I am able to get a good word real quick, the morning time when it's quiet, those are the times when I'm able to do it more often than not. Before bed, it's just, I'm like no good. You can forget about it. So that's a part of my morning routine. I do try my best to wake up Monday through Friday between 5 and 6 a.m. and then spend a couple of hours, you know, doing my thing. I've talked about my self-care stuff. Okay, you already know. But that morning I got up, the sun hadn't come up yet, so I opened the blinds, had my coffee, and I just quietly watched. And y'all, I even took a picture of it. You should have seen the colors that as the sun was starting to come up. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I'm like, when I see those kind of things, it's a reminder of how in awe I really need to be when it comes to what God has done. Okay. In any case, so the sun's starting to come up. I'm sipping my coffee. I was going to say kofifi. And there was this little sliver of the moon that was in the sky. And it was, I guess, or did they call it like a crescent moon? It was like this, you know how it looks when it looks like a thumbnail? I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know the technical term. It might be crescent shape. You know, those crescent rolls you get and you put the spoon in and it pops open the can and you put them in the oven. Those crescent rolls. Pretty sure it's like that shape, right? And that isn't something that I had really honestly noticed too often. Usually when I look at the moon, it's like typically full-ish, if not full. So that was dope to see it, number one. Number two, I was reminded of something. And this is exactly what I wrote down in my journal. I'm going to read it right now. Hopefully it makes sense because I'm not reading this in advance. So I wrote, just like the moon is still present when sunrise begins and the light of day hides all traces, so is God with me when all quote unquote proof, things I can physically see with my physical eyes, shows otherwise. Trust and surrender. Trust God and surrender to his will. Surrender into the unknown and be okay without having all the answers. And I wrote some other things, but what blew my mind was the fact that just like the moon is still present, but we can't always see it, right? Depending on what we see with our physical eye, depending on our life circumstances, depending on what's going on in our life or in our day or what we're dealing with, we may not even see it, but the fact that it's still there, it's still present, even though it's covered up, that for me was a message that, like, just like that moon is still there, but I can't necessarily see it physically with my eyes, God is with me too. I may not be able to see God. I, you know, can't touch God. There are times when I don't feel God's presence, but God is still with me. And in this season of my life, like I said, like my, if I had a word for this year or words, it would be trust and surrender. For sure. Trust and surrender. Those are my words for 2023, because that is the season that I'm in where I'm just like, God, are you there? Right? Sometimes I feel like that. God, are you still there? Are you really there? Because sometimes I feel like, you know, Jesus is on the main line, but I can't get the operator to put the call through. You know what I'm saying? So just having that experience with the moon and how it just kind of like disappeared from my view, but I knew it was still there. Like once the day broke, it was just a great reminder that just like I don't know if anyone's ever seen God. So I'm just going to say this, so take with a grain of salt, but it's like, we can't necessarily see God physically, but we have to trust and believe that he's still there. Even during those times when we feel like he's not, he really is. So I'm not sure who needed to hear that, but I wanted to make sure that I shared that with you today. So those are the two things that I did for self-care. Picked up that book and said no to sharing my bacon. So let's go ahead quickly and talk about, like, how are you doing? I know we have that mindset of like, new year, who this, new year, new me, I'm doing all the things, all, you know, that whole mindset of setting all the goals and trying to do all the things. I want to remind you that it is great to have goals. It really is. But I don't want you to feel like you are a failure if you have, for example, already kind of pushed those New Year's resolutions to the side. Life be lifing, y'all. Life be lifing. And I think it's human nature to always want to be the best that we can be. We want to have the best. We want to be the best. We want to do the best. We have every intention. You know, we say, this is what I'm going to do. Like you may say, well, this year by the end of this year, I'm going to lose 25 pounds, or by the end of the year, I'm going to save $15,000, or whatever it is that you say, or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to find a new job, or whatever it is, right? We have every intention of doing those things that we say, but life be lifing. And also sometimes we do, like, we take on more than we can eat at one time, right? We take on more than we can chew. I think that's the saying, thinking about it. Sounds good. I'm going to go with it. But again, we have every good intention, but life be life. And, or we just didn't realize just how big this thing was going to be. And so, like I said, I just want to make sure that you understand that no matter where you are right now in 2023, as we kind of wrap up January very soon, or in the next, what, week or so, no matter what, I just want to let you know that I think that you're doing an amazing job. And I want you to be easy with yourself. I want you to give yourself grace. I want you to give yourself compassion. If you're feeling guilty because you've already stopped whatever it is and you just, you know, feel like you dropped the ball, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm not saying that as in you should never, like, hold yourself accountable, or you should never try. Like, you want to make sure that your word is good. When you tell yourself you're going to do something, right? You want to make sure that your word is good, because the more that you hold your word, you know what I'm saying? The more you trust yourself, the higher your self-confidence is going to become, the higher your self-esteem is going to become, right? So it's not like I want you out there just saying, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And then you just don't follow through at all whatsoever. That's not the point, though. My thing is, I want you to, as you're kind of navigating this terrain in 2023, I want you to remember that obviously you are human and nobody is perfect. So if you're feeling kind of like you're being hard on yourself, I just want to make sure that you're in a good place. Okay. What else? I wonder if that's actually all I have to say. I feel like actually Oh, one other thing that I wanted to talk about, which I guess is kind of off topic, but I want to make sure that I mention it in this podcast episode too. Something else that I was journaling actually just today or yesterday is the realization that I had that how I feel about myself now in the present is my choice. So during my quiet time, I get like little quotes and messages like in my spirit, and I try to always jot them down, or I'll end up kind of going through a memory rabbit hole. And I allow myself to do that because I know that sometimes it's going to be like an aha moment there, or like a truth that I maybe couldn't see in the past because I was in that situation and everything was cloudy or felt hard or whatever the case may be. And so that is the thought that I had today, is that how I feel about myself, like right now, not talking about what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future, but like right now in this present moment, okay? It's a choice. It's a choice. So I've shared on the podcast that there were many times when I was younger that, or in the past, where I just did not like myself. I hated myself. There were so many things about myself that I hated. And real talk, I'm still working through some of these mindsets. I'm still working through some of these feelings that I have, or feelings that I have about myself. Okay, depending on what day it is and how things are going, I might be like, oh my God, I love myself. I am everything. Or I might be like, oh God, I am just so tired of you. You know what I mean? But again, that thought that like right now, how I feel about myself right now is a choice. And I'm glad that that's something that I am starting to walk in, if that makes sense, because in the past, like I said, I feel like obviously the saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yeah. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So as you're doing your healing work, I just want you to like pay attention to those thoughts. I'm not saying to give them any kind of weight. Just pay attention to the things that you're thinking. And if you can, like ask yourself questions about those things, okay? Because there's layers that you can uncover that are going to give you little pieces of insight and or little nuggets that you can carry with you as a reminder or something for you to kind of grow and level up on, if that makes sense. But like I was saying, that saying of when the student is ready, the teacher appears, or the master appears, or whatever that saying is, younger Bree wasn't ready to hear that how I feel about myself is my choice, because younger Bree was going through, I'm about to cuss, I'm letting you know, cuss word coming, cuss word pending, younger Bree was in the muck of so much shit and chaos and confusion and lack and just all the things that I wasn't ready to receive that message, because I was not in a good place. I was not in a good place. I was not in a good way. So I was not ready to receive that message. But the more you begin to kind of clear out the cobwebs of your spirit, if that makes sense, or clear out the gunk, the stuff that's inside that's kind of taken root on our spirit, taken root on our hearts. For me, that looks like allowing God to help me like go in there and just roto-rooter some of that stuff out of there. Real talk. But the more you do that, the more it makes way for new revelations. The more you do that, the more it makes way for different ideas. And like, in other words, like right now I'm cleaning my kitchen. Like I'm getting rid of some stuff. I'm just kind of, very long story short, I'm getting rid of stuff out of my kitchen, out of my space that just do not, They take up too much space. They do not feel like me. They've been there for quite some time. You know how when something's been around for a while, you kind of just get used to it there, even though it might be an eyesore. It might be something, for example, that's painful. It might be something that you absolutely hate, but it's been with you. It's been with you for a good minute. And so you just kind of like tolerate it, or you don't really know what to do with it. How do I move it? What do I do with this thing? You know what I mean? What do I do with this? Sometimes we just ignore it because you're like, I don't know what to do with this. So you just pretend it's not there, or you ignore it, or whatever. So I'm clearing some things out of my kitchen, some big things that are taking up a lot of space. And I'm kind of reorganizing. But as I take things out, like, I don't go to quickly fill the kitchen up again. Like, when you start to create space physically and internally, when you start to create space, okay, you're able to see things from a different perspective. That space kind of gives you a new lens, if that makes sense. And that's what I feel. So I was ready to receive that message, which again was how I feel about myself is a choice. Doesn't mean it's a good choice or a bad choice, but it's a choice. Right? So I just want you to know, like, the more you start to clean out your clutter, physically, spiritually, whatever, you're going to start to get these insights, these downloads. Like, I feel like the less stuff we have, and this is not a plug to say, hey, you should just get rid of all your stuff, or you're this kind of person if you have all this stuff. It's not even about that. But I do feel like the less stuff, like distractions, the less stuff that really are not adding anything to your life, but in fact are weighing you down. As you start to release that stuff, clear it out and make room, I feel like you're making room for God to really be able to speak to your heart. I feel like you're really making room for God to, you know, to, I mean, he's always there, but you're able to connect, if that makes sense. So I would say, as you continue down this journey, as you start to release, right, again, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever, you know, feels right for you and your circumstance, don't be so quick to replace those things that you just got yourself out of that you just released. Don't be so quick to replace that thing, because you're like, oh, now I have a void and I have to fill it with something. I need to buy more, be more, do more, have more. Like, no, allow that space to just be. You can learn so much about yourself, about life, about everything, when we let go of things and release distractions, things that are not meant for us, or at least not for all time. There's so much more to explore. There's so much more to uncover, but it's hard to do so when we just keep piling on stuff that either wasn't intended for us, we don't need it anymore. It's no good for us anymore. It doesn't work for us anymore, right? Yeah. So that is my episode for today. I really honestly hope that your spirit was fed in some kind of way. Again, this was no notes other than the journal stuff that I wrote down. I really just hope you found this helpful. I really, really do. So that's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. If you have a chance, and if this, you know, episode or this show supports you in some way, I would love it if you shared this episode or the Brown Girl Self-Care platform, so that other Black women specifically can be alerted that, you know, we out here, right? So that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed week, and I will see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast.